doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Stand in your love. Stand in your love.
Father, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. We're so honored to have your presence here with us. Lord, I pray in these next few moments, Lord, that your will would truly be done. We could put out this last week, failures, victories. Lord, that our focus would be solely and totally on you and hearing from you this morning. May you speak through me, Father. May my words not be my own, but may it be you speaking through me now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So the message today is how quickly we can fall. Okay? I don't know how many of y'all seen the news in the last week or so, but there was a man from China that fell at the Grand Canyon. Did any of y'all see that headline? He was trying to take a selfie, and I guess it was a popular tourist spot where he was at. I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but the picture that they were showing I think it was where there's like a glass thing that stretches out over the canyon that you can walk out on. And that was a picture. I'm not sure if that's exactly where the man fell, but he fell to his death trying to take a selfie. And so it just kind of got me thinking, and you guys know I like statistics, so I looked up from 2011 to 2017, there's been 259 people die from attempting to take a selfie. And that, I didn't get any newer statistics than that. I didn't research it, but I didn't want to bore y'all with a bunch of statistics, but it's really pretty interesting. It was like before 2011, there wasn't any known deaths from that. And then there was like a few, and every year it keeps increasing. And this particular study was just up to 2017. And they said some of the deaths have probably not been reported because people taking selfies while they're driving end up in a car accident, and they never knew that it was just said to be an accident. But the number one way that people die from taking selfies, this is such a pleasant topic, isn't it? But the number one way people die, it says, was from drowning. And that kind of surprised me. And it said the selfies were being taken, they were either washed away by a wave or fell overboard of a boat. That was the number one way. The second way, it says, is through transportation. And they said, for an example, people trying to snap a quick picture in front of a moving train. That's not very smart, okay? Don't try and get a selfie in front of a moving train. But then the third way was people trying to snap a quick picture it was fires and falls. And so falling or from fires. And so what I really want to talk to you guys about today is falling. Okay. Tripping and falling. And what got me on the subject was the man this last week or 2 weeks ago that died taking the selfie at the Grand Canyon. And I thought, how quickly can you slip and fall? Have any of y'all ever fell? Okay. I've fell plenty of times. You know, I've fell hard. I've fell soft. I've felt the fall coming, and then I've been on my face before and not even realized it. What? How did that happen? You know, and we've all probably tripped and have fallen in some way, okay? But what I want to talk to you about is how quickly it seems we can fall If any of you have ever tripped and fell, it can happen just like that, right? How quickly you can fall. But I want you to think about it in the spiritual way, is how quickly can we fall when it comes to the Lord, when it comes to things of the Lord, when it comes to our walk with God. How quickly it seems like some of us can fail, some of us can fall. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." It was afraid that just as Eve was deceived, that somehow that we could be deceived just like that. Somehow that we could be led astray by Satan and his power and what Satan can do. And we see it oftentimes in other people's lives, but I don't want you thinking about other people. I want you thinking about you this morning, and think about how easily you could trip, you could fall, you could be deceived. Satan did it to Eve. And if we're not careful, we're all susceptible to it taking place in our lives. If you want to, open up your Bibles to Matthew 26. And who I want to talk about first is Judas. And to me, he's a prime example of someone falling, of someone fading. And Matthew 26, verse 20 is where we're going to begin. It says, "When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him one after another, 'Surely not I, Lord.'" Some of you might be sitting there this morning saying, "This message isn't for me, Pete. Surely not I. I'm not going to trip. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fade away. Surely not I. I can't be deceived." His disciples, the men closest to him, are going, "Surely not I." And I don't know if this was said with a question or like a boldness. I'm not sure. "Surely not I," or "Surely not I. Would I do it?" I'm not sure what tone this was taken, but I think for many of us as Christians this morning, we'd say, "Surely not I. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to fall away. I'm not going to trip and fall into sin." Verse 23, Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me." When I read that one verse there, you know what that tells me? That tells me the close relationship. The one who's going to dip his hand into the bowl with me. That's someone close in proximity. That's friendship. You know, like, have you guys ever went to, okay, we've been to Mexican restaurants before, and most Mexican restaurants, what do? They give you your own little bowl of salsa. Why? I don't want to be dipping in anybody else's bowl, okay? I love Charlie, but I don't want to dip in his salsa, okay? I want my own salsa. But you know what? My wife, I don't care. I'll dip in her salsa. It's okay, you know? So, does that make sense? The one who's dipping in the bowl with him is who's going to betray him. There was a closeness there. Does it make sense, y'all? That's how close it was that this person dipping in this bowl. And in verse 24, "The Son of Man will just go. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you. Surely not I." You know, as we sit here this morning, how many of us are sitting here going, "Surely not I"? No. I'm not going to trip. I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to betray Jesus. I'm strong. I'm strong in my convictions. I'm strong in my walk with the Lord. And I pray that that's truth for each and every one of us. I pray that, this message maybe doesn't pertain to anybody this morning but me, because I can see in my own life how quickly I can fall, how quickly I can fade. A few weeks ago, I said something at work and I knew I shouldn't say it, but it just was so funny. So I said it. And as soon as it came out of my mouth, why did you say that? Oh, how quickly we can fall. Surely not I. As I was thinking about this, and I thought, what if I was to tell you that one of you would end up cheating on your spouse and end up in a divorce this morning? In the coming weeks, in the coming months. What if I was to tell you that one of you would be stealing, embezzling from your place of employment, and in the coming months, you would end up in jail? What if I was to tell you that one of you says a lie and you end up losing a friend in the coming weeks, in the coming months? Or what if I was to tell you that you would become so angry at a family member, at a loved one, at a close friend, that in the coming weeks, in the coming months, that you would no longer speak to that person anymore? You might be sitting there going, surely not I. I wouldn't cheat. I wouldn't steal. I wouldn't lie. I couldn't let anger get a hold of me like that. Surely not I. Not to people that I love, not to people that I care about, not to people that I'm sharing a bowl with. I wouldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I would never do that. When we begin to slip, we just don't know how far we'll slide. I was thinking about this, and I was remembering a time that I was, when I used to roof houses, and I don't like heights particularly, but we would wear safety harnesses, and I remember doing a school gymnasium, and I was a guy that would run out the rows of shingles, so I was on the edge of the roof the whole time, and looking down, and it was a long way down, but I had no fear because I had my safety harness on. And we were doing a house up here. It's actually Martha's house now, but it wasn't Martha's house at the time. We were doing that house, and it was July, and it was hot. And I don't know if any of you've ever roofed, but felt paper in the summer hot sun lets loose real easy, and you can go. And I had my safety harness on, and I was up towards the top, and I just started sliding, and I was just laughing and waiting for my safety harness to catch. And I'm going and going, and I'm getting closer and closer to the edge. And I thought, you know how fast your mind can think. I probably should have stopped by now. And all at once I stopped. Okay. And I turned around, and it was a football coach from Hartford roofed with us in the summer. And he had caught me. I didn't know it. I looked back. My safety harness had come untied. I didn't even know it. I was comfortable. I was fine. But I was on my way to sliding right off that roof. It wouldn't have killed me, but it would have hurt. Okay? It would have hurt bad. But thankfully, he grabbed that rope. But I was oblivious to that I no longer was safe. That I was at a fast pace moving, about to getting hurt. Y'all, sometimes we can be oblivious to what's going on in our lives because we choose to be oblivious. We just say, I'm good, I'd never do this. And we almost let down our guard. And we'll let down our guard, and we feel so safe and so confident that we may even quit trying. We quit seeking the Lord. We're just comfortable. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. You know, what's that tell me? That when I think I'm standing firm, be careful that I don't fall. Because sometimes when you're the most comfortable, sometimes when you think like everything is okay, is the very moment you let down your guard and you trip, and you fall, and you stumble. Have any of y'all ever had a trip or fall that really stands out in your life? Yeah, some of you. I've got two that I remember very well. One, I was a Boy Scout hiking on the mountains, and we was crossing a little creek, and I fell in the water, and we just had done a study on hypothermia. I was probably 9, 10 years old, and there was a little bit of snow on the ground. It was cold, and I fell in that water, and I just started flopping like a fish, screaming, "Help! Help! Help!" And the scout leader was crying. He was laughing so hard because the water I fell in was about that deep. But I didn't know it. I hit the cold water, and we'd done all this study on hypothermia, and I thought, I'm in trouble. I need help. And I was flopping like a fish. Oh, help, help. And then I remember this other one. I'll just share with y'all, okay? You guys, if you're bored, that's okay. When I worked for UPS, it was go, go, go. No. And it was Old Greenwood Road. They was expanding. They was doing construction. They was widening it to 4 lanes. Most of y'all youngsters probably thought Old Greenwood was always 4 lanes. And I had to get to this. There's next day air boxes, okay? I had to get to this next day air box. And it was probably the length of our gym and church away. And I'm stopped in traffic. And I sat there and I sat there and I sat there. And finally I said, I'm never going to make my route because I had to hit all these boxes and be back to get this stuff on the airplane so it can go. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to get out of my truck and run up there and get the mail and run back. And then hopefully traffic will start moving and I don't have to stop there. And I get out and I'm running as hard as I can. And people, you know, traffic everywhere. People's watching this UPS man running as hard as he can. And the concrete was buckled. I never seen it. I hit it, and I'm not lying. It was like sliding into home plate. Just, whew. I went sailing like Superman flying through the air. And I hit so hard, and it hurt so bad, but I was so embarrassed because there's traffic everywhere. And I'm sure people's just probably, oh, look at that guy, you know. And I don't even think I landed for but a second, and I bounced right back up and kept running and got the mail, got back to my truck, and my knee's bleeding, my pants are ripped, my elbows are both bleeding, and I'm hurting bad. But I didn't even want to look up because I was so embarrassed, you know, because I'd fell. But y'all, how many of us are tripping through life? Each and every week. And Satan's buckled the concrete below us. And we get going so fast. We're in such a hurry. Living our lives. Doing our things. And going to our ball games. And cooking dinner. And getting to work. And we're running so fast that we don't even see the buckle in the concrete. And we trip and we fall. And we're all messed up. And we're bruised and we're cut and we're bleeding. And here Judas is saying, surely not I. Surely not I. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. I want to go back to Matthew chapter 10. And just a look at where Judas had come from, okay? Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. He gave them this authority, and then it lists all the disciples, and Judas is listed in this list, okay? And then you jump down to verse 5, Matthew 10, 5, and it says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. the power that was bestowed upon them to do this. It's just amazing to me that they were able to go out and do this. And listen, verse 9, do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belt. Take no bags for your journey or extra tunics or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. So how do you go from this being empowered to heal, to drive out demons, and to betraying? How do you get from that point to betraying Jesus? But I think part of it, part of the key element of this is, what's he saying? Don't worry about the worldly things. I'm going to take care of it. Right? He says, don't take along any gold, silver, copper in your belts. No extra bags, no extra tunics or sandals or staff. Don't worry about all that worldly stuff. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of your needs. People will provide this for you. Let's go to John chapter 12 now. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? But John chapter 12, verse 1, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. What did he do? Don't take along any gold, any silver, any copper, any money. Your needs are going to be met. To hear it saying he was so worried about money. Why? Because he was a thief. Because he would help himself to it. Surely not I, Lord. Surely not I. Can I tell y'all something? His heart and his desire was for the present. It was for the immediate. It was for the things that could meet his needs right then. The money from the perfume, the money, the gold, the silver. That's what his heart had become about. Instead of chasing after Jesus and saying, I'm leaving everything behind. My focus is upon you, Lord. His heart had become clouded with the things of this world. And sometimes it's the subtle things. It's the little things. It's the little desires. It's the little wrong thoughts that lead us so far astray. Ravi Zacharias, and I never realized that this was his quote, but I've heard it several times. But when I looked it up, it says that Ravi Zacharias was who said this. And sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. You hear that? Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sometimes it's those little things, that little bit, baby. Maybe Judas, you know, well, I sure could use a Coca-Cola, and we got petty cash here, and I'm just going to take 50 cents for my Coke. Just nobody, who will miss 50 cents? It's the little things. It's those little stumbles, those little trips. And how far away from the Lord can they lead? Well, I got it away with it this time. And you know, sometimes I see these criminals that get caught and I think, how did you not know? How did you not know that you would get caught? People embezzling from businesses and banks and churches. And what made you think that you'd never get caught? Well, because they got away with a little bit. And then their greed. And it became a little more, and a little more, and a little more. There's a song called Slow Fade by Casting Crowns. This song just popped in my head when I was preparing this message. And it says, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's a second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings." Last week we talked about your eyes, right? It's a second glance. It's not the first, it's a second glance. It's going back to it. "Be careful, little feet, where you go, for it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when your black and white are turned to gray." You get what that's saying? What used to be right, what used to be wrong, now gets clouded up in the middle because you're fading. And is this really okay? And thoughts invade. Choices are made. A price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. The little trips, the little stumbles, the little things that we're allowing in our life. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. It's a slow fade. How many of us are sitting here this morning saying, "Oh, it would never happen to me. I would never do what you're talking about. I would never allow myself." So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert." Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I didn't put this down. I didn't even think about it till just now. But David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, where was David supposed to be? He was supposed to be out to war, right? But he made the choice to stay home. And when he stayed home and he wasn't where he was supposed to be, is when he stumbled, when he fell, when he began to sin. We have to be alert. Don't be so comfortable that you lose your alertness, that you're not aware. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know, in driving a truck every day, there's so many idiots on the road. And I have to stay alert. I have to stay alert at all times. Why? Because the moment that you're not, is a moment that an accident can happen. I think it was the week before last. I'm going down zero, and from around Atwoods to 540, I was almost hit three times. Y'all, I don't even know if that's barely a mile. Three times in that little stretch, I was almost hit. And one was by another semi, and I had to lock it up and run up on the curve. I have to be alert in my driving. How much more alert should each of us be with our life? Aware that the enemy is out there ready to pull us away. Verse 9 says, "Resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the whole world are undergoing the same kind of suffering." Y'all, I'm not telling you this morning, and please don't misunderstand me, that you're going to trip, that you're going to fall. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But what I'm saying is that we need to be alert, and we need to be aware, and we need to resist. We need to resist. 1 Corinthians 9:26 through 27 says, "Therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." When I hear that, beating our body, making it our slave. That's taking control. That's taking control of what we think. That's taking control, like I talked about last week, of where your eyes go. Take control of what you're allowing into your life. Because if the enemy can find a crack to slip in, he's going to do it. And he's going to cause you to stumble, to fall, to fail. Matthew 14:27 says, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.'" This is when Jesus comes walking out to the disciples. He's walking on the water, okay? In verse 28, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the winds, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." You know what? There's so much in this story right here, but what this tells me is his eyes began to look at the waves and the wind and the storm, and he began to sink. Y'all, you want to trip, you want to stumble, take your eyes off Jesus and watch how fast you'll fall. Watch how fast you'll sink. You begin to look at the storms. You begin to look at the trials. I lost a job. I'm having trouble here. A health issue. A prayer that has not been answered. And you begin to focus on the problem. And you begin to focus on the storm. And you'll begin to sink. But he cried out, "Lord, save me." Did Jesus let him sit there a while and say, "Huh, you shouldn't have took your eyes off me. Go ahead and swallow a few waves. Go ahead and get your hair good and wet. Go ahead and struggle a minute. You got yourself into this. You're the one that looked away. You got yourself into this. Just doggy paddle for a minute." Did Jesus say that? No. No. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Maybe some of you this morning you're doubting. Maybe some of you this morning you've tripped and you stumbled, just like me when I was in that sidewalk and your knees are bloody and your elbows are bloody and you've been blowing it. You can cry out to Jesus this morning. And you can get your eyes back upon Him. And he's not going to go, "You made your bed, lie in it. Yeah, take on some more water there. I'll bring you back to life." No, immediately he reached down. And I'm going to tell you something. If your heart's cry this morning is saying, "God, I've had enough. I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to fall anymore. I don't want to stumble anymore. God, help me. Help me." He's going to reach down this morning and he's going to pull you up out of it. We don't have to live in it. We need to be aware. We need to be alert. We need to understand that we have an enemy, but we have a Savior that's mighty and strong and can pull us out of that pit, can pull us out of that sinking water that we're taking on, that sinking sin. Last verse is here, Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are all surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." You know, I think part of the problem in my life is getting rid of some stuff that I need to get rid of and just don't want to let go. I mean, let's really get down to it. Is there things that you're allowing in your life that you know, I really shouldn't have that there? It says, throw off those sins that so easily entangle us. Maybe it's not something that you necessarily have in your life, but maybe like David, you're not where you're supposed to be. David wasn't out to battle. He wasn't out fighting when it says that kings do at that time of year. He wasn't out there prepared. He was kicked back, taking life easy. And maybe that's where you are. You're not where you're supposed to be. You're not out there fighting the good fight right now. You're just kicked back. I never will forget a young man who, mid-20s at the oldest, he might have been early 20s, and he turned his back on God, basically, and he was at the hospital. He was having heart issues, and I went up to talk to him and say, man, get your life right. He said, you know what? I lived for God, and I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did that, and he goes, I've done enough. I'm ready to just take life easy. What? You're 25 years old. Y'all, God has a job for each and every one of us. And some of us are tripping and stumbling and falling through sin because we're not where we're supposed to be. And we've kicked back and taken life easy. It says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. That's the race marked out for you. Perseverance means that you're struggling and you're going, but you don't give up. You keep going and you keep going, no matter how hard it gets. And you're not kicking back, kicking up your feet, saying, I've done enough. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Right there it is. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This morning, don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And He can pull you up. Let's stand. Father, for any that have fallen, any that's been tripping and stumbling, it seems like every day through life, and falling into sin, falling into the temptation and the devil's traps and snares. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that they would repent. That they would repent, Lord, and that they would listen to You right now, and that You would impart wisdom upon them, and Father, that You would impart freedom on them, that they would know that they can be set free from that. But Father, for each and every one of us, me included, Lord, that I would understand, that we would understand to fix our eyes upon You. To fix our eyes solely upon You, Lord, that we would quit getting distracted by the things of this world, just as Judas was distracted by money and wealth and things, Lord, and it cost him dearly. Lord, may we not be distracted by the pleasures of the flesh, by the things of this world. May our focus be solely on You and doing Your will. Each and every day. Lord, may we not be arrogant this morning. May we not say, surely not I this morning, but Father, right now, may we with an open heart and an open mind, Lord, ask if there's anything in our lives that's causing us to stumble. Causing us to trip and fall, causing us to live in sin. May You reveal it to us right now. May we repent of it and turn from it and turn our lives back to You. Lord, maybe it's just a little seed planted right now. Maybe it's just a little thought. Maybe it's just it's something that seems insignificant right now. But Father, if it's going to lead us astray, if it's going to cause us to fall, may we recognize it right at this moment. Repent of it. Ask for forgiveness. Get victory over it. And get our eyes back focused upon You. Father, have Your way now. Have Your way with every life in here. Forgive us of our sins. Lift us up. Where we're drowning, lift us up once again, Father. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything, altars are open.
At the foot of the cross, where grace and suffering meet, coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross.
I was just thinking about some of y'all know firsthand what floodwaters can do. And, you know, there's all this flooding going on just north of us right now. And people will take their vehicles and they think, well, it's just a few inches of water. I can make it. And whether they do, they'll try and drive through the water. And what happens? They get swept away. And it's amazing to me, like the creek by y'all's house, that just most every time I drive by it, there's hardly even any water flowing in it. It's just a little pretty creek. But you know, a few years ago, that creek became dangerous. Took people's lives. Because the water came rapidly. And what went from this beautiful creek flowing gently became powerful and swept everything in its path away. Y'all, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants you to think, this sin's okay. You might even think it's beautiful. You might even think, yeah, it's okay. And you get right in the middle of it, but then there's a flood coming. And it's going to destroy your life, your family, your testimony. Be careful. Be alert. Keep your eyes focused upon Jesus. See, that's the good news today. You've been drowning? Look unto Jesus today. He'll pull you out. Cry out to Jesus, and there's victory for each and every one of us this morning. Elders meeting 5:45, Bible study 6:30. We'll see y'all this evening.